Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning on the topic, staying stable in unstable times. Staying stable in unstable times. You know, I've been working on a study in the Lord's table. And while I was on vacation, I was jotting down some thoughts. And I just want to share with you something that the Lord has given me over that time frame. And it develops its core around the concept that there is a need for God's people to be stability, not just being personally stable, but to be the stability of a community, the stability of a nation, a stability of a world. In other words, God has called us to be ourselves no matter what's going on around us, to maintain our testimony. You know how often we read that passage of Scripture that talks about we present ourselves as living sacrifices, and we are reminded that we are not to be transformed by or conformed to this world, but because we have been given a new mind, we ought to allow God to perpetually develop us, to cause us to grow in who He's already made us to be. And usually when we think about that, we think about, you know, don't do what the world does, but do what Christ has given you the power to do. But there is more to it than that. And it involves the idea of recognizing that you have been made new and that you are growing in that newness, and that newness must shine in a world that's trying to, on some level or another, tell you that you ought to not only do what they do, but feel the way they feel, and to somehow or another see yourself the way they either see themselves or the way they see you. So all of a sudden, we're being asked to be something that we're not because the world is uncomfortable with us. Or be something that we're not because we did not garner our personality from the world's storehouse. In other words, the world is saying, if you didn't learn from me, and if you don't act like me, then there is something inherently wrong with you. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see someone who, from the earliest stages, was born from above, who was raised by God, and who chose to be who he was from the earliest point in his life. And you and I, as Christians, because of the work of Jesus, are born from above. That's what the Bible means when it talks about us being born again. We are born from above, we are raised by God, and we have a pedigree and an heritage that is different than that of the world. And what the Lord is asking us to do in this generation is to maintain ourselves for who we are, irrespective of how difficult the circumstances around us become. So now we see Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed, and that always astounds me. In the night in which he was betrayed, and he wasn't just being betrayed by Judas. The Bible says at a certain point, he came into the world and the world rejected him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. In other words, this was and is the God of all creation. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is God. And he came into his world, and on one level or another, he was rejected by all. The cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, rejected by all. The Bible says we all have gone astray. The Bible says that we all have turned toward his or her own way. And Jesus had every right at that point in his life, on that night in which he was betrayed, the night in which the Romans were coming at him from one angle, Herod and his group coming from another angle, the Pharisees and Sadducees and so on coming from another angle. All around him, there was rebellion swirling. And even within that room, there was one man who chose to betray him and others who knew ultimately that they wouldn't betray him. They wouldn't try to hurt him, but they were afraid for their own lives and that they would ultimately deny him. He's in that kind of a situation. If we were to put him in our generation, or if we were to put any one of ourselves in his position, we would recognize that there are wars on the outside, and every now and again we have struggles even within the house of the Lord. And there is always an opportunity for us to deny who we are and go back to the way that we were. Remember, the Bible says at a certain point with regard to the Lord that even if we all deny him, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And basically what that means is the Lord has determined that he is going to be who he is no matter what. When Moses asked him his name, he gave a very simple answer: I am that I am. And basically what that means is whatever else happens, I don't care if Pharaoh is in a good mood or in a bad mood. I don't care if my people believe me for miracles or if they've turned away from faith. I am what I am. The Bible says at another point, he says that I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. In other words, compassion is still my prerogative, and I choose to be compassionate. And then by the indwelling Spirit and because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because we have been made new, we are more and more being transformed into the image of Christ. And that basically means God has made us a certain thing, and we are little by little growing into what we already are. That means by the grace of God, we have the prerogative to be who we are, no matter how significantly our identity is being challenged. We can always decide to be merciful. We can always decide to be compassionate. We ought never to be conformed to the way of the world. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what the issue, no matter what the hardship, there is never an excuse to deny our identity. Now, when you look at the life of Jesus Christ and you look at him in the night in which he was betrayed, you see a person who makes a clear decision that he is going to be who he is all the way up to the cross and even upon the cross. And so that when he rose from the dead, he was able to impart that same spirit to us. By the grace of God then, and because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, even in the night in which we might be betrayed, in the night in which we might be denied, even in the most difficult times where there seems to be wars within and wars without, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what they're doing in the world, and no matter what we might encourage in the church, there is a power in every single one of us, a power, a presence, a person who lives in every single one of us that says, even if this is the night of your betrayal, even if it's the night of your struggle, even if you're going through a hard time, even if someone has broken your heart, someone has betrayed a trust, someone has said something to you that cut to the core, or even if you look around the society and you see one form of evil upon another form of evil, know that in your heart there is one form of grace upon another form of grace, that where sin abounds, grace does that more abound. There is something that God has done in you, something that the Lord has caused to happen in you that causes you to stay stable even in an unstable world. That's why Jesus was able to wash the feet of his disciples, even though he knew those feet were going to scatter. He knew that those feet were going to leave him. He knew that there was going to be a time of difficulty in his life, and he still was able to take the form of a servant. He didn't say to himself, I tried to serve and tried to serve and tried to serve, and this is what I get. No, he said, I am a servant. And because I am a servant, then I am going to continue to serve no matter what the situation, no matter what the difficulty, no matter how many times I've been burnt, no matter how many times I've been hurt. I have been called to serve. I've been called to reach out to God's people. I've been called to win the lost. And no matter what time of day it happens to be in my existence, no matter what happens to be going on in my life, I am a servant. You see, you and I have got to simply remind ourselves that we are whatever God has made us to be. And that doesn't change no matter how we feel. It doesn't change no matter what goes on around us. Doesn't change no matter what anybody says about us. Doesn't change no matter what the difficulty. Doesn't change no matter what the hardship. We have been called to serve. We have been called to make a difference. And what we have been given the grace to say is that by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what Paul was able to say. By the grace of God, I am what I am. It's not because of what goes around me. It doesn't matter what people say to me. It doesn't matter. I am still expected to serve. And so Jesus maintained himself in an unstable situation. He said, I'm called to serve. He said, I'm called to give thanks. The Lord reminds me again and again and again that I can give thanks in everything. I can thank God no matter what the circumstance, because there's something in it to thank God for. Always, if you and I look hard enough, there is something to thank God for. Even the fact that we can thank God is a reason to thank God. The fact that we know that there is a God to thank is a reason to thank God. If I can thank God at all, it's because of the grace that God has given me. He gives me grace to give thanks. That's why he expects thanks, because he knows that he has invested in us the capacity to give thanks, the capacity to feel as though there is a God to depend upon, the capacity to know that I can't do anything in my own strength. The capacity to know that I can't provide for myself anything. When you and I came into this world, we didn't have anything in our pockets. In fact, we didn't have any pockets. When we came into this world, there was nothing that we could do for ourselves. And we are still alive. We can always thank God for his air and thank God for his bread and thank God more for his presence and for his power. Thank God that we know him. Thank God that we sit in a house like this. Thank God that we're not left alone. Thank God that there is the power, there is the capacity, there is the heart to thank him, to bless him, to honor him. Jesus takes bread and he rips it asunder, knowing that this is his body, knowing in a few hours, this is going to happen to me. In a few hours, I'm going to be beaten. In a few hours, I'm going to be spit upon. In a few hours, my beard is going to be ripped from my face. In a few hours, I'm going to be mocked, and I'm going to have to go through a court in which my verdict is already on the lips of the people who are so-called trying me. In a few hours, people are going to say, if God is with him, then why is he going through this? He knows it. And yet the Bible says he took bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks. Because he decided that I don't care what's happening around me. I don't care anymore what I have to go through. I don't care about the hardship. I don't care about the difficulty. I'm not worried about what the devil has to say about it. There is something that God has given me. There is an investment in my life. The capacity to praise him. The capacity to worship him. The capacity to give him glory, the capacity to give him honor, the capacity to make mention of his goodness, the capacity to glorify his name, the capacity to thank him. And nothing's going to take that away from me. Nothing's going to rob me of that praise. Nothing's going to rob me of the joy of worshiping my God. No difficulty, no hardship, no pain, no struggle, because God is with me. The grace of God is upon me to give glory to that great and holy Savior and to make mention of his wonderful name. As long as I'm alive, by the grace of the Almighty God, I will not be deprived of the privilege of making mention of his name and giving glory. Glory to that great and that holy Savior. And he broke bread. He didn't isolate himself. Even when he understood that people were going to come against him. He didn't isolate himself, even though he knew that there was always the capacity for pain. Whenever you and I are interacting with another human being, there is always the capacity for pain, you to bring it to them or them to bring it to you. That's just the way it is. And the more you love somebody, the more deeply it cuts when there's pain. So you and I have one of two choices. We can decide not to break bread, or we can decide to break bread. So ultimately, we have to decide in our hearts that this is what Jesus bought on Calvary. He bought the capacity to engage in fellowship, to break bread with one another, even though we recognize the potential for danger. When he was on that cross, remember he said, "This is me," when he broke that bread. Now on that cross, you see his arms stretched out. Ultimate vulnerability. Leaving himself open for ridicule, but at the same time, leaving himself open for praise. Leaving himself open for hate, but at the same time, leaving himself open for love. So you and I have the same privilege because now we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. And we can decide that there is always the potential for betrayal and the potential for denial, and we'd be right. But there's also the potential for love and the potential for actual faithful friendship. Every single one of us in here has felt some pain or another, has been hurt by someone or another. And if we wanted to, we could do like they did when Paul was talking to the Corinthians. And he said how they gathered into their own little groups and into their own little sections, and they broke bread together and just completely denied the people on the other side of the room or whatever. But Paul says, see, there's a problem with that. You're not discerning the Lord's body. Or we can do what the Lord Jesus bought for us on Calvary. We can choose to love each other. We can choose to trust each other. We can choose to be open and say, I know there's a potential for pain, but there's also the potential for loyalty, the potential for faithfulness, the potential for real friendship. I thank God by the name of Jesus Christ and according to the blood of that great and holy Savior. I thank God because of the indwelling Spirit, that even at this ripe old age that I am now, I still trust people. And I've been hurt and I've been burned just like you. But I still trust people because I believe in the capacity for actual friendship. For actual loyalty. No matter how many people burnt me, I don't indict one person because of the acts of another. And even if that person who burnt me comes and says, hey, look, I messed up, then I embrace them again, not because of any strength in myself, believe me, but because of the presence. Because we have been made to be different kind of people. Hallelujah. So Jesus broke bread. And the Bible says that he said, "This is me for you." That is, he gave himself. It's a very difficult thing to say, "This is me." I mean, just that alone is difficult. Because we feel in some way or another that the best way to fit in, the best way to be accepted, as Pastor Carter was talking about earlier today, sometimes on our job and so on and so forth, we feel like what God has made us to be, we have to guard, we have to hide, and in order to protect it, sometimes we don't allow it to show. Unfortunately, that doesn't just happen when we leave the church. Sometimes it happens when we're at church. We feel like we have to put on a face. We have to put on a facade. We have to act a certain way because this is the way Christians act and so on and so forth. So if it's that difficult to simply say, "This is me," how much more difficult to say, "This is me for you. This is my body. This is my blood. This is who I am for you." That's a twofold consideration. One, to be honest, this is me. What you see is what you get. You might not always like it, but at least you know it's real. This is me. Do you know what I mean? And once I'm able, by the grace of the Almighty God, to say, "This is me," then I can say, "This is me for you." But if I can't say, "This is me," then I can never really say, "This is me for you." I can say, "This is what I'm acting like for your benefit. I'm acting like this because I think that's going to make you like me, but it's really then not for your benefit, it's for mine, because I have a need to be needed. I have a need to be liked." But what if I say, "You may like me, you may not like me, but at least you're going to know me. You may not like who I am, but at least you're going to know me." I mean, none of us as Christians like our flesh, you know what I mean? That's why we submit ourselves to Christ. So when we present ourselves to one another, we're talking about that which is born from above. We're talking about that which is spirit-led. We're talking about the fact that we've been made new. And we're acknowledging that. We're saying, "This is who God has made me to be, and he didn't make me this so that I can lavish it upon myself. He made me this so that I can serve you. He made me this so that I could be there for you. He made me this so that I can love you. He made me this so that you can trust that I'm not going to hurt you. He made me this so that you can know that somebody on the face of this planet is praying for you. Somebody on the face of this planet loves you. Somebody on the face of this planet cares about you." And you and I have been given this wonderful gift that allows us to say to somebody or another, "I want you to know," especially if the enemy comes lying to you and telling you that nobody cares and nobody knows and nobody's going to miss you when you're gone, "I want you to know that there's somebody on the face of this planet who loves you. And somebody on the face of this planet who is praying for you. Somebody on the face of this planet who has adopted you into the prayer closet. And you can know for certain because you know me." That kind of a thing, we're able to say that to one another. "You know me. And this is me for you." That's what Jesus did. Now, that's a difficult thing to do if we allow the changes in society to change who we are. That doesn't mean that we don't have lapses. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't get a certain way. You know what I mean? I get that all the time, and I feel like God has got to rein me in. You know what I mean? Relax, he says. You know what I mean? Take it nice and easy. You know what I mean? If you do what I called you to do, you're going to help somebody along the way, you know? But the whole thing is, I still have to say, this is who Jesus made me to be, and it is for you. And so this is what we see in Jesus. And since we know Jesus is in us, we can expect to see it in ourselves. He talks about this idea, and I'm going to close with this. There's a lot more to be said, and maybe on a Friday night I'll explicate to a further degree. But at a certain point, he talked about the new covenant. And he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." It's a picture of a person who is saying, "I'm not here to espouse the old ways. I'm not here to take up that thing that I left behind. Now, Jesus, of course, had no sin. He had never done any wrong. But he represented humankind. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he was baptized by John and so on. And so we can appropriate what he said to our particular situation. And there comes a time when we realize that this is an era of new promises, an era of new relationship. This is a time where we don't have to depend on the things that we thought were our stability, the things that we thought were keeping us. I'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. When I was younger in the faith, I kind of made a pact with humankind in general. And it was simply this: I'm going to be nice in Jesus' name, but don't get on my bad side. Because there is this guy back there. You can't see him. But he's the dude that used to help me out on the streets of Brooklyn. You know what I'm talking about. And I said, you don't want to meet him. So you better be nice to the nice me. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there was always this thing that I could pull back from behind and protect myself. You know what I mean? I could speak as mean as anybody else can speak to me. And that kind of a thing. Until the Lord spoke to me and said, no, this is a time of new promises. This is a time of new covenant. This is a time of new relationship. This is a time of new power. This is, you're not back in the old days where if somebody didn't treat you right, there was thunder and there was lightning and that kind of a thing. You know what I mean? He said, you're living in a different time. That means you got to be nice all the time. To this day, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But you got to be nice all the time, but not by your own strength, not by your own power. But you and I have got to not just be personally stable. We have got to be the stability of this society. Right? We have to be the northernmost point on the compass of humanity. Because what happens without the church? You know what's going on in our generation. What happens if we lose our equilibrium? What happens if we lose our mission? What happens if we lose our sweetness? What happens if we lose our saltiness? We've got to be stable in unstable times. Because people are looking to see, is it possible to hope? Is it possible to love? Is it possible to maintain trust? Is it possible to maintain a childlike faith that God is going to come through and God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do? Is it possible to be poured out for humankind? Is it possible to wash the feet of people who you know might deny you? Is it possible to make a difference in a world that basically calls you irrelevant? Is it possible? And we say, yes, it is possible. Because God told us that this is a new time. It's a new era. It's a new covenant. It's a new relationship, new promises, a new presence, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to a mountain now that burns with fire and that rocks with thunder. We're going to a Jesus who died on the cross and who said, look, there was a time when this thing or that thing happen, but now the Bible requires, the word requires, the presence requires that all men repent. There was a time, and I'll say this and we'll pray together, where Jesus took a towel, girded himself, and then sat at the feet of his servants, sat at the feet of his disciples. Peter was astounded by it. He said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said to Peter, I have to do this. Because if I don't, you can't identify with me. And he said, understand, no servant is greater than his master. If I'm doing this, this is the way you have to do it. And it was a picture of God. Remember, Jesus is God. It's a picture of God saying, unless you see me in this light, I know you see me high and lifted up upon a throne. And he said, that's awesome. And you should. But unless you see me as a lowly servant, unless you can make this one thing complement the other thing, remember, they don't contradict each other. This is the Lord who is God, ever raised and ascended to the glory of heaven, and yet who still is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, who still ever lives to make intercession for us, who still says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the one who still comes and washes our feet. He said, look, Peter, I need you to see me in that position. Because if you see me in that position, then you understand what it means to be a servant. I need you to recognize that this is who I am. And this is who I will be. I'm not going to stop serving because it's difficult for people to receive it. I'm not going to stop serving because the feet that I'm washing might one day deny me or betray me. I'm not going to stop serving. I'm not going to stop giving. And so the Lord says to you and to me, this is who we are. We're servants. We give. We provide. We lavish love upon people. And you and I both know we can't do that in our own strength. But if Christ is with us, if Christ is for us, nobody can stop us. Nobody can be against us. Nobody can turn us away from our call in life. Nobody can turn us away. Now, if you and I are prostrate, first of all, in the presence of the great and holy God, and then we prostrate ourselves before one another, him in worship, us in love, you understand you can't fall from that position. You can't fall from a prostrate position. If you're prostrate, if you're laid out, if you're poured out, you can't fall from there because you've already taken the lowest place. And you're showing people what God looks like. The Lord said to Peter, you have to see me like this because then you can tell people, this is what God looks like. I saw him. I saw him. I want to pray with you this afternoon. The prayer is very simple. God, help me to be who you've made me to be. Even when the world tries to tell me it's dangerous to be that, or it's foolish to be that, or it's a waste to be that, help me to be who you've called me to be. Don't let me be conformed to the image of this age. Help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You made me new. Help me to grow into it. Help me not only to be personally stable, but to be stability in a world that is looking for something that's not shaken. Help me, Lord. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If God is speaking to you, and you're saying, I feel like I'm being shaken on my job, or sometimes there's some people in here who are married to people that are not saved, and you sometimes feel like everything's being shaken. And there's some people here who have been hurt even in the house of the Lord. And we do. We hurt each other. We make mistakes, and sometimes we leave in our wake broken hearts and so on. And you're saying, God, it's getting harder and harder to be myself in my neighborhood, and I feel like I need to bring that old person back, that old covenant back, that old law back, that old way back, that thunder and lightning back. I feel like sometimes. And then you hear God say, no. You live in a different era now. You're a different person now. Your situation is different now. And I want you to trust me. If God is speaking to you, then come to the front of the auditorium. We're going to pray together. We're going to believe God together. We're going to break some bread together. We're going to stand side by side. One of the things I love about this altar is we get to stand side by side, be each other's stability, help each other. Even when we're praying to God for ourselves, we're also standing side by side and reminding one another, you're not alone. You're not the only one going through a difficult time or the only one who has a need. You're not alone. We're family. We're family, brothers and sisters. This is me for you. No masks, no games, no ritual, no religion. What you see is what you get. This is me for you. God is speaking to you. Join the ones who have come. We'll sing a song or two in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll pray together. In Jesus' name.
You know, the Bible says that there's a restrainer in the world keeping back evil from becoming everything that it will be, plunging humanity into a depth of darkness virtually unseen throughout history. As dark as the world has been, there's a darkness coming upon it deeper than anything that's ever been seen. A shocking darkness. But till that day, God has a restrainer in the world, and that restrainer is called the Church of Jesus Christ. His hand, His power is in you, in your workplace, in your home, where you travel. You have the ability. I think Pastor Teresa says it the way I like it. She said, we're called to be thermometers, not thermostats, not thermometers. A thermometer can only rise and fall with the temperature in the room. It follows the temperature in the room, but a thermostat can change the temperature. And God has given us the ability to make a difference, even in the lives of our enemies. He's given us the ability to forgive, to speak kindly. He has given us because He won that victory. We don't have to do it in ourselves. If you only have one old guy back there, I got 12 of them back there waiting. But God's given us the ability to make a difference. You have to be able to see yourself the way God sees you. He's placed you where you are to make a difference, to push back evil. There was a testimony here one Sunday night. A young man, this is probably about 2 years ago, on a Sunday evening, a young man got up and said he was with a bunch of guys. They were in the neighborhood and they were going to do a robbery. They were going to find some person, they were going to rob them. And as he's going down the street and they're making their plan and figuring out who they're going to hit, a little old lady, a grandma, walks by, points right at him and says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He said it so shook him up, he went home and ended up going to church and got saved. The restrainer. There are words, there are giftings of the Holy Spirit. There are words of wisdom. There are words of knowledge. There are words of counsel. There are words of compassion. There are words that people will look and say, only, how did you know this? How could you speak this into my life? Only God could have shown you this. You have to see yourself. God placed you strategically to push back evil right where you are. No matter your struggles, we all have struggles. But He has overcome those things and given you the power to make a difference. Father, we thank You for this wonderful message today. In the midst of everybody coming at You, Jesus, from every angle, and even people in the room who would one day soon fail You, Your words were kind. Your actions were just. Lord, we can only point to it today and say, I see no fault. I find no fault. God, I thank You for this, Lord. Thank You that when You rose from the dead, You gave us of that same power that raised You. And You gave us the victory that You won is now ours. Help us to walk in the fullness of our inheritance. God, help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to be restrainers of evil in this time in which we're living. And show us what we can do and how we can speak to hold back, to push back darkness for the sake of the souls of men and women who can still hear. Father, we thank You for this, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters at this altar, God. Bless all of us, God, with the strength we're going to need now. God Almighty, make us fully aware that we are being sustained and empowered by the One who won the victory on the cross. Let us give You the glory, God. Let us lift our lips to You in praise, for sustaining us, holding us, forgiving us, lifting us when we fail. Everything, God, everything that we're designed to be, we will be. And then one day soon You will take us and we'll be forever with You, Lord. Father, we thank You for this. We praise You in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.